presented by Clay County Public Golf Course and Benefield Funeral Home.
Classic Country 90.9.
Hey folks, Bill Bubba Bussey here, and this ain't your average morning show. We're talking life, laughs, and a little bit of ball with Coach in the Game. It's Classic Country Mornings on Classic Country 90.9.
Bucks Island in Southside, Alabama is a family-owned marine dealership and supports Classic Country Mornings on Classic Country 90.9. More information is available at bucksisland.com or by phone at 1-800-I-AM-READY.
Live from Court Square in Ashland, this is the 3-Point Stance with Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, David Nolan, and Coach Michael Short on Classic Country 90.9.
There's only time for one more play. The ball's at the Auburn 36. So it's going to be about a 52-yard attempt. The 52-yard attempt will be it for Van Tippen.
This would win the game. A 52-yard try. The clock will not start till the ball is snapped. There is the snap, the kick. It is in the air. It has distance.
It's good. Van Tippen has won the ball game.
Alabama has beaten Auburn. Van Tippen has kicked a 52-yard field goal. And the state of Alabama is crimson.
Davis takes it to the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Get out there as we get people running off, and as they see when they blow it in at 2-1. Across.
From the First Bank of Alabama studios, it's the 3-Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9. And on this Tuesday, February 10th, it's the kickoff hour of the 3-Point Stance, supported by Hill Auto Sales. In studio this morning, we've got Dave, the barber, the Hall of Fame barber nominee. We've got Coach Jerry Weems, the two-time Hall of Famer. And we've got Coach Short.
Future Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer. And it's a short Tuesday. How's everybody this morning?
Doing good, Bone.
Great.
So far, so good.
Coach, welcome.
We've made it so far. Welcome. Am I here? So, there I am.
There he is.
I'm here now.
There you are.
He's very loud over there.
He wasn't late. Morning. He was actually here.
He was here.
I've been here for
his voice wasn't here yet.
I was.
A little delayed. Like all these, we played with these buttons all day this morning. We've got all
It's a new board.
It is. The whole thing, it looks neat and clean and it's ready.
Yeah, it does.
We can block out voices all we want now.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
How was the fog up 9 this morning?
Oh, Lord. I mean, it was very thick, and it got worse.
Up his way, it was, and I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know how it was up his way, but from my house to here, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah. It got worse, as it usually does, before the daylight, just like the temperatures always gets a little colder. But I noticed it, because the first time I noticed it wasn't at my house, is when my camera started going off this morning, and I'm looking. I said, well, what am I looking at here? Fog. But the movement made it go.
Mm-hmm.
So, phone. Somebody's phone. Yeah. Well. Somebody's phone's talking to us. So,
all right. Here it is, Coach Short.
Question of the day.
The Meadows Farm Equipment question of the week.
Day two.
What is your favorite vacation spot?
You know, coaching for as long as I did, you only had like 2 weeks there when you had to take a vacation. It just wasn't a lot of time. And so we did a lot of traveling to places from New Orleans. I mean, if it had any history in it at all, we went there.
Mm-hmm.
Up the coast. I mean, if there's a Fort St. Augustine, places like that, we went there.
Mm-hmm.
And but probably it went to a lot of those places, New Orleans, you name it. But when I was little, my mother and daddy were from Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that area of the country, the Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I mean, it's a beautiful place. You can go, and I love East Tennessee, not West Tennessee, because it gets flatter as you get closer to Oklahoma and Nebraska and places like that. But you can't beat East Tennessee. And if someone could just plant me in East Tennessee, I'd be a happy camper because they have four seasons. They do have four seasons of weather there, and there's some great places to live. You could actually plant me in Cage Cove, and I'd never come out. If you give me enough food to get by, I could be happy in Cage Cove. You wouldn't have to have a phone. You wouldn't, because it don't work. I mean, that would be a beautiful place, but probably East Tennessee. I mean, it's a beautiful place.
It is. You're right.
I mean, and I know the beach, and I like to visit the beach, but I couldn't just go stay there all the time.
Right.
Because I'd always be worried about, well, here comes another hurricane. We got to up and move. We got to do this and that. And it's okay to visit, and I'm sure there's probably other places, that those resorts as you get close to, I couldn't afford to go to. And, mm-hmm. I've never been on a ship. I've never been on a cruise. We had planned on it at one time before my wife passed. We was going to do those things when we retired. But I think probably you could plant me in East Tennessee because that's where my daddy was from, the East Tennessee, Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City, the Tri-Cities, that area. Up there where the racetrack's at, the Valleydale 500. I don't know what they call it now.
It's beautiful up there.
Yes, I love that part of the country.
I mean, it's
And I hate to get it. Their interstate rides are fun. Because you get into Tennessee, Virginia, you'll go for miles and not see. I guess it's mountains. A lot like when you get into Alabama on the other side, when you're going to New Orleans. You don't even see nothing. The exits aren't developed as much as mm-hmm. you get into Tennessee and Virginia. So, yeah, it'd have to be East Tennessee.
You ever been on the USS Alabama?
Yes.
Well, you've been on a ship.
Well, I have.
You've been on a ship, Coach.
I've been on a ship. And I've been in a boat, actually, out in the Gulf, in a bass boat. Okay. Boy, that was scary. But as far as being on a cruise ship, moving, I have not been on.
Does a rowboat count?
Yeah, it's on the water, Coach. It counts.
It counts.
It's on the water.
Only been on a plane one time. Well, I guess you'd say twice, because I had to get to somewhere and then had to get back.
Yeah.
And it was ValueJet. And ValueJet went down about a month later in the Everglades, and 100 people got killed. And I thought,
oh, no.
That's the cheap plane that they picked for me to be on to go to a coaching clinic. And that's the only time I've been on a plane. I've never been to California.
Was it a good flight? Flight experience? From where to where?
We went from Atlanta to Delaware.
Oh, that's a pretty good jump.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I guess because at the time we got to the top, they said, now we're coming down.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a little shaky, but it was just so neat going around in Philadelphia, going around that naval base, because you can't go over top of it. You have to go around it. And just to see it and getting turned sideways, I'm asked, wait, is this normal? We were turning sideways, mm-hmm. but it was pretty neat. I could probably do it again. It's just not something to me, getting into the Atlanta to the airport is awful. When I go pick somebody up, I don't like doing it. So I just don't go many places to fly.
You can get lost in the airport.
Yeah, you could. I have. And just have to call somebody. Exactly, where am I at? How'd you get on that side, Coach? I don't know. I just start walking, looking for something to eat.
Well, you know they have shuttle services that will take yes. you, can pick you up from Oxford, Anniston, Auburn, and take you to Atlanta.
My niece does that. They'll pick yes. her up at Oxford. They'll pick you up in Heflin now. They'll stop out there at Lowe's.
Groom. That's the way to do it. They'll take you right to your boarding gate.
Yeah. Yes. You just get off and tear your stuff and
that's
go.
That's it.
Easy. But it's amazing how people said they're going somewhere for 2 weeks and they got two little things to carry their stuff in.
Right.
And it must be
folded. You can go. We'll just say this. There was a time in my life where I used Groom a lot. I know about Groom.
You could have worked for him, probably, Bone.
You got.
I mean, really?
I've been a driver. I've been all over.
If they didn't have tests,
I've been.
I'll just leave it at that.
I've been all over the Southeast on Groom. Let me just put it that way. Yeah. And I ain't flew nowhere.
Okay.
How did you get to Oregon?
I drove. I actually drove.
We've talked about that this morning. Yeah. I've been in Oregon.
I did drive to that one.
And he went and saw Boise State's football field because he wanted to see the blue field.
Yeah.
And took a selfie, put his hand through the gate, and took a selfie between him and the fence.
Well, that and I took one forward, too, where I wouldn't have the fence in the field.
But, yeah.
But, no, yeah, that Groom just brings up a lot of
good memories.
Yeah.
The ones you can remember. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh. We're gonna take our first break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
On that one. We'll be right back on the 3-Point Stance right here on Classic Country 90.9.
Sports, the Clay Central Sports Network on Classic Country 90.9.
Classic Country 90.9.
I just can't get enough of Classic Country 90.9.
You're listening to 3-Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9.
All week long, we're going to be celebrating the week of Valentine's. Valentine's Day is falling on the weekend, so we're not going to get to have that during the work week here on 3-Point Stance. But we can celebrate love songs, Valentine songs, songs about the heart, all week long here on 3-Point Stance, and that's what we're doing. And we're going to get the set started off with today, The Captain and Tennille, a number one hit back from 1975. Love Will Keep Us Together. Glad you're joining us.
That's a good one there.
It is. It got a lot of airplay back in the day.
It did, didn't it?
It did.
You could just
talk. You know, she went to Auburn University.
Yes, and you could just talk. I mean, you could just talk to your girlfriend through music. Just look at her and say, that's it right there. That's how I feel right there.
That made her happy.
Yes.
Always made her happy. Yeah, she was an Auburn Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, their choir. They're still in Auburn.
It is.
Auburn University choir kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Auburn Knights. She was one of them.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah, pretty voice. She had two sisters that sang backup with her lots of times. They had good voices, too, all three of them.
Just them singing together. That's great music.
This kickoff hour of the 3-Point Stance is supported by Hill Auto Sales. Hill Auto Sales, located in downtown Lionville at 89010 Highway 9. Their phone number is 256-396-1100. Their website is buyfromhill.net. Hill Auto Sales, sponsor of the kickoff hour of the 3-Point Stance on Classic Country 90.9. Coach, there was a big game Sunday night.
There was. Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, well,
out there where they started, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It sure was.
Mm-hmm.
What was your take on it, Coach?
Well, you know, I brought up short takes last week about some of, you know, talking about the upcoming Super Bowl, how much it cost, $8 million per car, I mean, per
commercials.
Mm-hmm. And they always got some special ones. And I know people will say, hey, you watched the Budweiser commercial. I said, I do. It's probably some of the best iconic commercials ever made. You know, you can think about the one back about – you remember the one about the little dog that got lost? I mean, it'd make you cry. And some of those commercials could make you tear up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the one about the eagle, I mean, just some of the commercials are just – they're iconic. And I used to – because if you think about until the last 3 or 4 years, a lot of our Super Bowls have been blowouts. I mean, they were just terrible games. So what happened is the NFL makes a lot of money off this game, guy. I mean, they make a tremendous amount. They make more money in this game than any of your other championship pro sport games, you know. And you think about it, it's one game. And they make more money in this one game than basketball does in 7 and baseball in 7, if it goes 7. So, but a lot of times they know these games, you know, how it may go. And like I said, the commercials to me are always, I love to watch the commercials. My wife used to always, she didn't really much care about watching the football part, but she wanted to see commercials and halftime. And she would talk about, I mean, you think about some of the iconic halftime shows. I mean, think of Prince in the Rain. I mean, that's the, I mean, I can still see that today.
That was a great one.
Think about some of the national anthem sing.
Whitney Houston.
I mean, Whitney Houston, if you couldn't shed a tear over that when she was belling out some of her voice, I mean, golly, is it iconic. There's been some good and there's been some bad. But in the last 10 years, there's so much politics involved because you never know. Is someone told me the other day, Coach Weems is driven by, he's not for sure that we ever landed on the moon. But in today's world and in today's society, when everything is driven by AI and by politics, they tend to split us in order to get more views. Because when people think something is going to be controversial, whether it's going to be a controversial call of a ball game, now that we can put it on social media and talk about it on a podcast, we just draw more attention. And that's what it's all about, drawing attention and getting more eyes, which means what? More money. And that's what it's talking about. So the more controversy that you can cause, the more money you're going to make. So what's controversy? Because you really don't know deep down inside who sponsors a lot of events in this world. A lot of events. A lot of politicians drive, and when I say politicians, not necessarily politicians from this country. A lot of times other countries want to be able to put their money into what's going on to get their narrative done. If you don't think that happens, you're crazy. So, but anyway, the ball game, I actually enjoyed it. A lot of people said it was a boring game. It was a defensive game. There's a lot of great defensive plays. Both sides were playing at a high level defensively. But you just had to know that Seattle was moving it enough to get some field goals, and you knew eventually those defenses can't play that way for four quarters. They're just not able to. Eventually it gets to you. And they were able to make just enough more plays down to get to the fourth quarter. I mean, until it got to the fourth quarter, the Patriots had not even scored. They hadn't even nothing, you know.
But they were just a play or two
from having some
from being in the game. You
yes,
know?
I mean it was until the end. There, like you said, there'll be a missed pass. There'll be a missed screen pass or something, like somebody fall down. Do you know that they're the first time in the NFL's Super Bowl history that there wasn't a penalty in the first half? That's unbelievable. Wow. There was not a penalty to the third quarter, and that was midway through the third quarter on either team.
Well, that goes back to the narrative we were talking about last week one day where they officiate the game different.
Let them play.
And should they?
It should be just the way it's always done. I mean, you're right. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, why? I mean, somebody's got to hold somebody. I mean, there's holding all the time. So, yeah.
Very well could have been some pass interference calls.
Yes, it could have went either way. In the regular season, those are pass interference calls.
That's right.
Which the pass interference calls in the NFL means they get the ball where it happened at, which all of a sudden now puts somebody in a position to score. So, I mean, then that makes you think, why is it differently? Why is it officiated differently?
That bothers me.
It drives me crazy, too. And you're being official. I can see how it would drive you. I mean, let's call the way it should be called.
That's right.
Here's the way it's supposed to be called. Let's call it that way.
Every day.
I see it in basketball all the time that it's called differently there toward the end. They say, well, you don't want the official to have an outcome to the game. Well, if it's a foul, it's a foul. If it's traveling, it's traveling. If it happened in the first quarter, then it happened again in front of you. Now, I'm just not one of those that believes, well, we got to let it go toward the end of the game.
You want consistency.
Just be that way. And if you got consistency, then people don't gripe about it as much. I mean, you think about it this past football season in college football. I mean, every week you never know what it's going to be like. You never know. And for players, that has to be hard on you because you as a coach tell your players, all right, guys, especially in basketball, coach, you can remember as a basketball coach, you knew when you saw who was going to be your official that night, whoo, golly, this is going to be a very physical ball game. We can turn it loose tonight and play physical. And then the next week you go, whoo, wow, we've got this group of officials. We can't even touch our hands on each other. And you always knew that. And sometimes it takes players, especially when you get into, like y'all are talking about, you've got area play now, and you've got sub-region play, and then you've got regional play. You're going to be playing with officials you haven't seen and haven't had. You get officials out of the Birmingham area, and you would know this, they let you play. They'll let you be physical. They'll let you hand check or do whatever. Same thing in the Super Bowl. I'm glad they let them play. It led to not as much scoring. But defensively, Seattle is one of the, you know, they used to talk about the Legion of Doom before there. To me, that matches them. Did they have the names? Are they as good as the Chicago, you know, defense back in the day when you could just about probably today start naming off all the players that played on that team? In today's game, with the rules geared more toward offense, to me, that's what made Seattle even more impressive defensively is because the rules of today's game are not geared toward the defense. They're geared more toward the offense. So, to me, it was a great football game. Halftime, I watched a little bit of both just to see what everybody had to give. And I said, man, they can dance, and I like the music. I didn't understand no words because I don't know Hispanic. They may have been bad, and I got people saying, well, it was the behind-the-scenes story. I don't know. I don't know behind the scenes. I don't keep up with it. I don't keep up with that narrative because you can tell me something, and a lot of people will believe whatever you hear. I don't. I'm like Coach Wings. I'm not for sure now that I've thought about it for 2 weeks if they even landed on the moon or not.
You know, talking about that Super Bowl, the thing that stands out to me about it was one player. The corner for the Patriots, Witherspoon. I think he's one of the better defensive backs, technique-wise and reaction-wise, that I've seen at any point.
And he's built for it. Yeah. He's got those long arms. I mean, they couldn't get a pass off. Nobody could for a while.
He really stood out to me.
They broke a record, I have to look it up. The number of punts in a ball game, both sides. I mean, the punters got tired; their legs were wore out.
Good defense, coach.
It was,
guys. It's
about time they earned their money.
We got to step away right here from the kickoff hour of the 3-point stance, the Hill Auto Sales hour. We're getting ready to fire up Heroes Hotline. We'll be right back. It's the 3-point stance on Classic Country 90.9.
Presented by Clay County Public Golf Course and Benefield Funeral Home.
Classic Country 90.9. There's nothing better.
A&D Metal Roofing Supply supports Classic Country Mornings on Classic Country 90.9 with locations in Alexander City, Wedowee, and Smith Station. More information is available online at aemetalroofing.com.
Celebrating a week of Valentine music, love songs this week on 3 Point Stance. Right here we have Barry White, I'm Gonna Love You Just a Little More, Baby. His first debut single went certified gold, sold over 1 million copies, hit number one on the R&B chart back in 1973, peaked at number three on the U.S. singles charts. Barry White. A lot of great ballads, love songs. We'll feature him again this week sometime. Love songs this week on 3 Point Stance, celebrating Valentine's Week.
This time it looks like love is here to stay.
We're back in the First Bank of Alabama studios. It's the Hill Auto Sales Hour of the 3 Point Stance. And guys, we've got Heroes Hotline fired up. It's fired up, y'all.
Good. Good.
On Heroes Hotline right now is the voice of the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, Mr. Mike Paris. Good morning, Mike.
Whoa, wrong one.
Morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Doing good, Mike.
Well, y'all doing well with them new sounds y'all got there.
Just hit till you get it right, Heath.
We'll get to you, Mike. Don't worry. We'll finally get there.
We got a new board in here, Mike.
A new one?
A new board, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Came in last week.
Is that why Harry's not there? He doesn't know how to use it.
He's out. He had to go all the way north just to try to figure this out.
Oh, he left it with Heath. He's going to tell him all about it when we get back.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's probably listed now.
Yeah, I hope he is.
Yeah.
The board is nice, though.
It is. You it know. Has all these different.
If Mike was here, he could do it blindfolded.
Yeah, I know sure he could.
I like the crowd noise, the new crowd noise that we have.
It is good.
Yeah. Well, the applause that I just did.
Hit that again.
Yeah, here we go. Coach, let me make sure I got the right one.
It's a little different than our last one. Yeah. It's good.
That sounds like they're right here with us.
It does. In fact, it does.
So whose salary got cut so they could buy a new board?
I think all of us took a hit.
You haven't gotten your check yet, have you?
No, all I ever hear is in the mail, you know?
Roll with you.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you this. The Gamecocks basketball won a big road game last week at a very tough venue at Western Kentucky. And I saw where in that game there were 74 free throws shot by, you know, combined by both teams, with Jack State shooting 50 of them. What's it like to broadcast a game? You must have had to tell a lot of jokes with all those free throws being shot. How was that broadcasting that?
Well, let's start with this. It was already a late tip at 8 o'clock because the television on the CBS Sports Network. So we're starting later than normal. And see, they have what they call a sliding window. If the game in front of you is running long, then they slide your game where you start maybe 5 or as much as 10 minutes late. So we actually didn't tip off till 8:10 because the other game before us went to overtime, I think. Or so it just ran long. I don't know. 74 free throws. They call 47 fouls. 30 fouls on Western Kentucky, 17 on us. We shot 50 free throws, which is the most by anybody in a game in Conference USA this year. Plus, along with those 47 fouls total, there were 7 technical fouls and 2 ejections in the game. So I thought I'd gone to the Royal Rumble or something, you know, the way it was going, all the fouls and whatnot. It took almost, it was between 2.5 and 2 hours, 45 minutes, I think, game time the other night. Yeah. So, but we won. That was a big thing about it, to get out of there with a win. So, no, it's, you know, it's on top of the fouls, they had to go back and review both the ejections there, or one of the ejections, and I don't know how many reviews we had the other day. It's just, it was one of those that's, fortunately, all of them are not like that. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm not going to let you get by. I almost did, but the mishap on the board there kind of got me throwed a little bit. But we got to get the Meadows Farming equipment question of the weekend with you. And that question is, what is your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, wow.
Boy, that means he goes a lot of places.
That
he
sounds like he's in trouble. Yeah.
I'm trying to decide between the recliner or the beach. You know? probably the Gulf Coast is where it would be.
Good choice.
Been to Mexico one time, and I will say it was, we went to a resort area. It was very nice. I'd probably do that again, but yeah, Gulf Coast, down on the Gulf. I'd rather go there as the Atlantic or anywhere.
Could you live on the Gulf Coast?
Sometimes I think, yeah, let's do it. But I've been down there in July and August, and I don't know if I want to fight that. It's just miserable down there to be in July and August. It's too hot. So,
yeah.
I don't know, quite honestly. You know, I have family down there. I never thought my dad, my mom and dad moved to the Gulf Coast because that's where my sister and her husband were living. And then when she passed away, I really thought my dad would want to go back up to the mountains in North Georgia, but they didn't. They like it down there. I don't know. I like warm weather. I like the change of the seasons. Everybody thinks I'm nuts. I like cold weather. I don't mind cold weather at all. Now, if I was out of power for a week at a time or something, I might not like it a whole lot. But I like the changing of the seasons and you know, having some snow to go through and deal with from time to time or whatever. So, but I like being at the beach. I just day in, day out with that heat. I don't know.
And you got to battle the hurricane situation down there too.
Until last year, I wanted to live in East Tennessee until the hurricane come up through there last year. But that's where we always. Mm-hmm. I think Dave picked that out too. He would like to. He wouldn't mind moving to if he had to, or vacation in East Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. I love it up there. Love it over there.
But you know, that's a once a century kind of deal like that.
That's right. In fact,
I drove to Western Kentucky to Bowling Green last week for a basketball game, and went up 65 north and got just outside of Nashville there around Goodlettsville. You could see the effects. You know, I'm assuming it was ice, but you know, the median and then off the roads, both sides of limbs, trees, and things like that, you know. And quite honestly, it was still, in fact, going into Bowling Green, you could argue, you know, you might have thought you were north of the Mason-Dixon line because, I mean, it looked like a northern city with the snow and ice where they'd scraped it, just piled up just about every major intersection, you know. You had some snow and ice still, plenty of it there because they haven't been above freezing much. And if I believe my information was correct, they had been to school in that area up there in like 9 days. Last Thursday.
Well, Kurt Herbstreit, you know, lives north of Nashville, and he said he's gone 14 days, and they're just now getting power. They're just now getting power back.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because of ice storms.
The city of Nashville, you know, they took a while to get that.
Yes.
If it's all back on now, you know, the city government getting hammered pretty good up there because of the length of time it took to get the power restored in the city.
So now we get back to.
You want to go back to basketball?
We can get back to basketball. Yeah. Now. We got that question there.
Yeah.
All right, let's do. I was going to ask you about Nyagu, the big guy.
Nyagu.
He's playing well right now. You know, he had 19 points in that Western Kentucky game, but he had 12 rebounds, and I think he had like maybe 12 more rebounds in the Kennesaw State game.
He did.
Yeah, he's really coming on right now.
Well, Ray Harper and I talked about that after the game, and you know, my question was, what's led to this? You know, and Coach Harper he firmly believes it's just confidence in his ability. You know, he said he's probably tired of me harping on it and getting on him, and just, you know, trust yourself. And he had had a career high the Saturday before at Missouri State. I think he had 12 in that game. Then we come back and play Thursday at Kennesaw, and he goes his first career double-double. Career high 19 points, career high 12 rebounds. And then Saturday, he had 4 points, but he had 12 boards, and he also blocked, 4 or 5 shots, a career high there. And he was just a presence inside. Yeah. They knew if they got the ball inside, you know, that he was going to be there, rim protector, whatever you want to call it. And he's playing with more confidence, and with that, I think he's become a little more physical. He's got a terrific shot. He can step outside and shoot it 12 to 18 feet, and probably he's never done it, but I think he can make threes. I watch him after practice sometimes, and, you know, he'll hit 5, 6, 7 in a row, top of the key or whatnot. And I don't think he's attempted one in a game ever. It's just a confidence deal, according to what Coach Harper said after the game Saturday. And, well, you know, we really need that. A.C. Bryant's been in a bit of a shooting slump for the last 3 games now. He did have 3 threes Saturday, but he still didn't shoot it percentage-wise what he has been shooting throughout the year. So, you know, he hadn't been in double figures in those last 3, actually, I think the last 4 games. So, Niagu, Jacoby Hill, and Amadre Kirkin-Fords have all, you know, all of those guys have been big in the games. And Marcus Fitzgerald has been solid from a defensive standpoint. He's a guy that can score, too, because he did at Tennessee State.
Yeah.
And he had 12 the other night that helped us against Kennesaw.
And, you know, mentioning those people you just did, and with Niagu, I mean, you've got some other people stepping up or scoring. You know, you mentioned Jacoby Hill, of course, Monteo. He's been pretty consistent all year. But Nash and Erkins Ford, all those guys finished in double figures up there in Western. But I think the emergence of all those guys, the team is really starting to gel right now coming down the stretch.
Well, we've won 5 out of 6 and sole possession of 2nd place. You know, Liberty, you got 8 to play, and they got a 4-game lead. So I like their chances of winning the regular season title, you know, being the 1 seed in the tournament. And we just need to finish as high as we can as far as the tournament and from a seeding standpoint. We go back to Sam Houston next week. So, you know, they beat us at our place. So right now, if they sweep us, they'd have the tiebreaker on us. We only play Missouri State once, and they beat us in that game. So we split with Kennesaw. Right now, we're, what, half game in front of Sam Houston and a game up on Missouri State and 2 up on Kennesaw and Louisiana Tech. They've played better lately. So we got UTEP and New Mexico State coming in this week and then on the road. So we got we got 8 left and what, 4 at home and 4 on the road, I think is what we got at this point in time from that standpoint. So, and the tournament, I think, Liberty can do some things that other people, they've got more weapons, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. They can kill you with a 3-point shot. If you overextend and you concentrate solely on that, then they, you know, they get layups or get the ball inside, and they've got a guy playing the 4 or the 5 that can hurt you inside as well. So there's a reason that they're 20-3 on the year and 12-0 in the league.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, baseball season starts this weekend.
Right.
Cincinnati coming into Jacksonville for 3 games, and Saturday there's a basketball game with New Mexico State and a baseball game. Now, how are you going to juggle all that?
Well, I got basketball Wednesday night, and I'll do the baseball Friday. And Tommy Woods is actually going to do the baseball game Saturday. It'll be streaming only through our app. And then I'll do our basketball broadcast against New Mexico State Saturday, and it'll be on our Gamecock Sports Network like always with that. So the way we've always done it, I'll say the sport that's in season, you know, we're basketball, where we are in it. It takes sort of precedent. Like in the fall, when once basketball starts in November, we still got a month of football going on. But, you know, football takes priority over basketball, and now at this time of the year, basketball will take priority over baseball up until whenever it's over.
Well, let me tell you this. I know one of the umpires that's coming in this weekend, knowing pretty well.
Okay, all right.
And he told me to tell you when I talked with you to come by their locker room and say hi to him.
Okay, I'll do that. I won't be there Saturday, but I'll go by Friday or Sunday one.
Well, he's doing the plate. So, he's doing the plate the Friday game, so you'll get to see him.
I'll do that. I thought you were going to tell me you didn't want me to get on him on the air or anything. So I thought you were going to tell question his balls and strikes or something. So
you can say his daddy wouldn't have called that.
If only his daddy could see him right now.
Mike, on the baseball side, I know you're in basketball, but baseball side, what is the because I always like to, if Auburn or Alabama's playing a home-and-home with JSU, do we have that again this year?
Yes, we do.
You know those
in
dates?
In fact, I'm probably going to miss the Tuscaloosa game because of basketball. We go to Alabama Tuesday, March the 3rd. Let me find Auburn.
I think it's later, maybe.
Auburn is in April. Let me see. I'm trying to find my key to So we're at Auburn on April the 7th, and then Auburn comes back to us late in May. That's when they come back to us. And Alabama comes to us March 31st. So we're at Alabama March 3rd, and then they come to us the 31st. And then Auburn will play down there April 7th, and then they return a visit on May 12th to us. In fact, the Auburn game will be our last home game of the year on the 12th of May. That's a Tuesday night. That's the last week of the regular season. That's a long way from now, and it'll be here before you know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will.
Give us a small preview of baseball. Are you familiar with what's going on there yet?
A little. Not a whole lot, but a little. I think from a pitching standpoint, we probably have more depth than we've had the last couple of years. The biggest overall thing, and I don't know about everybody else in the league, but I would think we have as much or maybe more returning than everybody else does from last year. Now, we did, you know, obviously we had some seniors and lost those guys, and we lost a few in the portal, but I don't think the guys that left was concerning from that standpoint. So, you know, Stephen Cash, who was our Saturday starter last year, he's going to start Friday night. I don't know if he's going to be the Friday night guy all year long, but you start with him, veteran guy. He's a left-hander and just gritty and gutsy. I'd take him anytime. And I think just from what I saw from him last year was, you know, a game you got to win. He's going to give you everything he's got. If he doesn't have his best stuff, he's still going to battle. And we've got him, and I think our arms – as I said, I think we're deeper there, maybe a little more giddy up on the fastball than we've had the last couple of years as well. Jackson Sleeper's back as the closer. He was fantastic last year. He's preseason all-conference, and Cash is too. I think defensively we're going to be good. Ace Williamson in center field has been hurt a little bit, so he's a little bit behind, I think, as far as his bat goes, but hopefully get him back to full strength. He's as good as we've had in center field, I think. And then CJ, Caleb Johnson's back at shortstop, and our infield pretty much set, I think. And I do believe defensively we'll be pretty good. I think the question mark right now is offensively. Can we get the production, the power production that we need and swing the bats consistently? And I think that's probably the question mark as you go into the season is where can the bats produce like you need for them to?
Well, let me ask you this, Mike.
Fourth in the preseason going in Conference USA.
Let me ask you this right quick while we've got a few minutes. Changing directions. There's been a lot of discussion the last couple of weeks in this state and nationally, too, on the Charles Bediako situation. And, of course, a ruling came down yesterday that left him ineligible. What's your thoughts? Right. What's your thinking about this entire situation?
Well, with him and who is it, Amari Bailey, that played at UCLA, and actually I think he spent some time in the NBA, you know, both those guys – trying to play, and I don't think it should happen. I don't think they should be playing. I didn't think Betty Yocko should be playing, and I definitely don't think the Baylor kids should be back in college basketball or any of them. And I know that their argument is, well, hey, they're letting foreign players who are pros play, but I think there's a little difference in playing professional basketball overseas and playing, you know, in the NBA or G League or anything. So, and let's be honest, part of that deal, I think, goes back to dollars and cents. They can make more money coming back to college if they can get back in than they would make in the G League or playing somewhere else. So that's, you know, that's the bottom line to it too. And I just, you make that decision to leave, and you know, that's your choice. You made the decision. So, and you know, that door should be closed, I think, at that point in time.
The big difference is those European players have never played in college and left to go professional and then try to come back to college. I think that's the big difference.
Right. They don't
Most of them won't, because they get paid so much to play in the European leagues. That's why they stay over there. They don't come over here.
I don't know that there is, you know, I'm not just, I don't know from a college basketball standpoint if there's really anything available to them, you know, that would be worthwhile in a career as far as from an international standpoint, at least for the most part.
Yeah.
Mike, should there be consequences for Alabama, the university, for those games that Betty Yocko won when it comes tournament time and you're counting all these games and the consequences that for the teams that lost to Alabama while he was playing, maybe not by the NCAA, the consequences, but certainly by the SEC?
Good. That's a question that I haven't really thought about, and I was just concentrating. Oh, I say concentrating. You know, all I've been thinking about is him playing and whatnot. How many games did he play?
Five. They went 3-2 with him.
3-2. You know, that will be a question, I guess. Ultimately, it'll come down to Greg Sankey if somebody. And you can, if somebody that's, let's say, bubble the NCAA tournament, you can bet that something's going to come up about that before tournament time rolls around, you know, or for Selection Sunday and all that.
Because basically, if they allow it with no consequences, it was an NBA player, a professional player, that got those wins, helped get them those wins.
Those three wins. And the NCAA had rejected, you know, his appeal to play, and then it was a court that gave him the injunction that allowed him to play those five games at Alabama. So, you know, initially it was supposed to be heard before, I guess, the Auburn game Saturday. It was supposed to have been heard last week.
It was heard before then.
So, I will have to do a little bit more research on that. I know a couple of those games he played in, and I guess it was, I know at Florida, I don't think he did much there, and they beat him. And I don't know what he did in the three wins. He didn't have great numbers at Auburn Saturday, did he?
Probably his best game.
Well, for the five, for the five games, he averaged 10 points and something like six rebounds. Maybe. Yeah, that's right.
But he was a defensive presence because of
you're right,
size.
Coach. Yeah.
Well, it changed their lineup and everything, so. You know, you could argue, that it should cost them, and it, you know, shouldn't hurt the three opponents that lost to Alabama during that time. So, I'll have to do a little deeper dive into that and see what my feelings.
We haven't heard the last of it yet.
Mm-mm.
I think we have.
Oh, you do?
The only people that are going to get penalized is the three teams that lost.
You know, the Bailey kid, he was supposed to be at Grand Canyon yesterday. They're trying to woo him. And, you know, he was a terrific player at UCLA when he played.
Baseball is fixed to get ramped up, too. You'll see some guys that are playing minor league baseball says, I'm not making enough. I need to go back and try.
Well, I don't – it's pretty clear cut. You know, you can play professionally in one sport and retain amateur status in another sport. For instance, like Dion, you know, guys that play two sports. There's a guy locally here, probably is as good a high school basketball player, and he may be the best I've ever seen from here at Carrollton High School. And he coached here a long time after he finished. But he originally was in the Braves organization. Tim Criswell is his name. And he went to Furman on a basketball scholarship, and they allowed him to play baseball while he's at Furman. So while he's there, the Braves drafted him. And he actually was in the minor leagues with Jeff Blauser and Glavin and Smoltz and those guys. You know, he was in the minors with them. And had 2 years, the baseball career didn't work, and he still had 2 years of basketball left. So he came back and actually played his last 2 years of his college career here at West Georgia. And they won a conference championship and were NCAA regionals, I think, one of the 2 years that he was here. So, but, you know, that rule's always been in place. If you were a multi-sport athlete, if you were a pro in one sport, you retained your amateur status in the other sport, and there have been some other people who have done that through the years as well. In fact, there was another guy that actually played. He was in the big leagues for a while from the Atlanta area who played. He was with the Dodgers and the Indians and played in the big leagues for a while and then ended up and came back, and he played a couple of years of basketball at West Georgia. That was before Criswell did that, as a matter of fact. So it's just, you know, if you're pro in your sport, that's the only sport, then you try to come back to college. That's where the issue lies, obviously. So I don't think from that standpoint, that's probably not done. Everybody will be watching that, I think, as we get closer to the NCAA tournament. And if they're bubble teams and Betty Aka was a part of it in Alabama and they won, that's going to be, I think there's going to be some decisions going to have to be made there before it's over.
Mike, we thank you for joining us on Heroes Hotline every Tuesday. You have a great rest of your week, and we got to get to the top of the hour break. And you have a great day, okay?
Guys, thanks. Always a pleasure. Y'all have a good week.
See you, Mike. Mike Paris, the voice of the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, with us on Heroes Hotline, brought to you by Heroes Painting, 256-276-0463. The Jacksonville State call, voice of the Gamecocks, Mike Paris, is made possible each and every Tuesday by Limitless Fitness. Available by phone, 256-239-5602, located at 114 County Road 31, right next to the Piggly Wiggly in Ashland. We'll step away. We got to take a break right here on Classic Country 90.9.